church tonight, say amen.
Amen.
I appreciate it. I'm glad that we're here. I'm glad that we're in the house of the Lord. Mom came this morning, so she knew I was not going to preach, and so that's the reason why she left. My wife is with me tonight because I told her somebody else was preaching, so, you know, can't win them all. But I always talk about my wife everywhere I go, and every once in a while she gets a chance to go with me, and so I'm glad to have my girl with me tonight. This is Gina. She is... She's my life. I'm telling you that much, and I love her. I'm glad she got to be with us this evening. And preacher, thank you for letting me come tonight. I have looked forward to this. You know how I feel about this church. I feel like this is really my second home, and you always make me feel welcome. And I just thank God for everything that He's done. Fellas, great singing. God bless you. And I love the last few songs that I heard, but especially "Oh, What a Savior." I think we'll sing that when we get to glory. I think we'll sing that over and over and over again just because He is and my Savior. Hey, by the way, the angels can't say that. They have not been washed by the blood of the Lamb, but I'm glad that I'm saved. Amen. And I appreciate you being here this evening. I want you to take your Bible to Mark chapter number 4. I really believe that I have the message for this evening. Mark chapter number 4. I want you to drop down to verse number 35, and then I want to ask you to do something, if you'd like. I want you to get out a pencil and piece of paper. I'm going to give to you lessons that we learn when God interrupts our life. I don't know if you've ever had God interrupt your life. Sometimes I just really want to just tell the Lord to mind His own business. But when He gets in my business and He messes up everything and then He interrupts my life, I realize that it's not to hurt me, it's to help me. And so I want to share with you tonight out of Mark chapter number 4, I do believe the Bible to be the Word of God. And I do believe what God said. So I want us to plug in. We're going to walk through this passage of Scripture just very briefly, but I don't look at it. And here's what I want to do. Usually I preach about 45 minutes with 3 points. Tonight I got 8. So we're going to be here a while. I'm kidding. I want you to get your pencil and piece of paper. I want to give to you 8 principles that we learn. I'm just going to go through them quickly. There are 8 principles that we can learn. Look at this preacher for just a moment. I used to, you know, people say a lot of times, "Preacher, you don't know what I'm going through." Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do. I had a funeral Friday of a young man who just lost his father. He grew up with Andrew. And I looked at him and I said, I know how you feel. Sure. Just, my father passed away about 3 weeks ago. You walk in, if you've ever gone through a storm, you can say, you know what, I can relate to you. Tonight, I want to share with you some lessons that I have learned through the storms. I have been preaching for over 40 years. And I've learned something. I've learned that I have not learned all there is to know about God. He never changes, but sometimes the way He deals with us, He does change. But He always does what's right. He always does what we need. And I believe with all my heart there's some people here this evening need to know, because God has just turned your world upside down. But no matter what God does, I'm glad He always does us right. Can I get an amen? Let's stand to our feet, if you will. I want us to read verse number 35 through verse number 41. I want you to listen to what He said. The Bible said, "In the same day, when the evening was come, He said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him, even as it was in the ship, and there were also with Him other little ships." Don't ever forget that. There's never a... just throw in phrase. So while this is going on, you have other little ships that are about to see what's going on. But Jesus is only in one ship, so keep that in mind. They just took Him. Bible said in verse number 37, "There arose a storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake Him and said unto Him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And He arose." Verse 37, "The storm arose." Verse number 39, "He arose." So when the storm comes, you let Him, He'll just rise above your storm. And by the way, I won't preach long if you'll say amen.
Amen.
Okay, I got you now. I like noise. I really do. And so anyway, I'm still going to preach long. No, I'm kidding. All right, verse number 30, 39. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto him, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, "Why are ye so fearful? Has it that ye have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly, said one to another, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Father, I pray for the next few moments that you'll speak to our hearts. I know that I have the message, but Lord, if I ever need you, I need you this evening. I thank you for what we've heard through the songs. I thank you for these men who travel that sing, and I pray, Lord, that you would help them. And I pray the Spirit of God will always settle upon them. And as they sing, Lord, they go through storms and they go through hurts just like all of us. But I pray that you'll use them, anoint them every time that they sing. And I pray, dear Lord, for Brother Justin here at Calvary Baptist Church. I ask you, dear Lord, that you will touch him and you'll be with his church. And I ask you, dear Lord, that you'll always give him what he needs. I pray this ministry will be blessed, that people will be saved and people's lives will be changed. And even through this week, even though our schedules may be busy, I'm glad that you're never too busy for us. You've never been too busy to visit us and to help us. So Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that we'll take a few moments and we'll just examine our hearts. Because there are people here this evening, I honestly believe that their life has been turned upside down, they've been interrupted. But I'm glad you're the God of all grace and you're the God of all comfort. And I pray that you would help us change our life before we leave, for it is in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Let me just lay before you the foundation. The Sea of Galilee is a sparkle jewel in the northern part of Israel. I've been there before. The last time I went is unusual because it's 13 miles in length, 7.5 miles of the longest on the widest part of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus performed many of his miracles there. And in fact, if you begin to understand it, it's about 680 feet below sea level. And I know that doesn't mean a whole lot to you, but it's almost like it's in a bowl. So you can settle the fact that an ordinary day can just turn chaotic because there's winds that get into those mountains, and all of a sudden the winds would pick up and then it would cause waves. So when you come to this passage of scripture and Jesus gets in on it, when we were over there back in 2016, man, it was like a piece of glass. It was so calm, it was eerie. It was thinking any moment, 5 or 10 minutes, when that wind could kick up, all of a sudden, that there would be a storm. And so Jesus said, "Let us pass over to the other side." Jesus said, "We're going to pass over to the other side." But with Jesus on board, an ordinary day turned out with struggles. And all of a sudden, there's a miracle that was going to be working, even though the disciples did not know it. Their day had been interrupted. I want to ask you a question. Has your day or a lesson that God's trying to teach you, has your life been interrupted here recently or before? All of us can say at one time or another, we've had those struggles. We've had those times. Let me tell you something about storms. Storms are expected. Now, I used to, not anymore. But I am not a tornado hunter, okay? But I've never seen one in person. And so when the winds start kicking up, Gina, her mom lives with us, they'll head all the way down in the basement. You know what I do? I run up. I wanted to see a tornado. But there was one day we was on the other side. I'm talking about it got eerie. It was like it was orange. It was just like the skies were turning colors. Gina said, "We've got to get home." We was on 113. When we got home, I was not upstairs because it was heading toward our house. And all by the grace of God, it veered and went up toward Adairsville. But I realized that a storm can just come quickly, and they are expected. Now, there are some that are very severe. You have tornadoes. You have hurricanes. And I'm telling you, it brings destruction, but sometimes there are storms that are unexpected. The weatherman doesn't even, can't even predict it. You can't even predict it. I've had times, I don't know where you have or not, when you sense something. And when you live and God just gives you a radar. And you knew that something was coming up and God prepared you for it. But every once in a while, God does not prepare us for it. It just happens. I remember a preacher, he came off, they had a tornado that went through their town, and the man that picked him up, he picked the preacher up, and he said, the preacher said, man, he said, this is horrible. He said, yeah, he said, my house was completely destroyed by the tornado. And the preacher began to think for a moment. He said, well, he said, that's really not surprising. He said, you don't go to church like you used to. I don't think you pray like you used to. You're just not the Christian that you used to. And he said, preacher, it got your house too. Storms hit the just and the unjust. It hits everybody that goes to church, and even those who don't go to church, and even those who don't know God. I want you to understand, storms come our way. I think about a little parrot named Chippy. Chippy always sung, always had music. But one day, Chippy was pulled in, washed up, and blown away. His day turned upside down within minutes. The Chippy was in the cage, and the owner was vacuuming it out, but the phone rang, so the owner was talking on the telephone, but she didn't remove the vacuum, and when it did, it just went and got old Chippy, and it went all the way down into the vacuum bag. And when the owner realized it, she said, I'll call you right back. Here it is. All of a sudden, here's Chippy in his bird poop, in dust, everything. And she just, I don't know what to do. So she went in and she didn't turn on the warm water. She turned on cold water. So here's Chippy that was once singing. Now he's in his own poop and everything else and just dirty. So now she's got him under cold water. Now he's freezing to death. And then she realized, oh no, he's going to freeze to death. So she gets a blow dryer and turns it on real hot and blows his feathers everywhere. And so finally, Chippy was just pulled in, washed up, and blown away. And after that, he never sung again. You know, life, someone said, life happens when we're busy making plans. You know, life is just going to happen. There's nothing wrong with making plans. But I'm here to tell you, sometimes God has every right to interrupt your plans. And God has every right to step in. I want you to listen to me very carefully. We visualize sometimes what we want life to be. You understand that? We set goals. We set things. There's nothing wrong with it. But we visualize what we want life to be. But we forget that God visualized what life ought to be. And sometimes it's not what we think, but it is what He thinks that it ought to be. You see, the place of security for the believer is not necessarily when the storm is not there. The place of security is when you know that you're where you need to be with God, and a storm comes, but He sees you through that storm. Amen. Let me tell you something about storms. Storms are governed by the providence of God. That word providence just simply means pro. It means before. And video, it has the word video in it, which means to see. God sees before it ever happens. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever just been caught off guard in life? Has something ever just said, huh, and it just took your breath away? A phone call. I mean, just something that could happen in your life that just absolutely set your life in order. But God has already seen that. You see, there is nothing that comes our way unless God causes it or allows it. Are y'all with me? Say amen. But it also, storms not only are governed by the providence of God, but we grow in the plans of God. God wants to enlarge our life, not entertain us. I'm telling you, I wished I had one day where everything went right. I wish one day, preach, I could get up and don't hurt. I wish one day I could get up and not have any problems. I wish I could get up and say, hey, everything is going to be all right. We don't know. But any time that God brings us to a point, it's to bring us to where we mature in our life. He wants to develop us, not destroy us. God wants to give us a peaceful life. But sometimes, in order to give us a peaceful life, He has to interrupt our life so He can give us a productive life. God has plans that we don't know. We're going to see that in just a moment. Y'all still with me? Say amen. You see, lives are governed by the providence of God. Somebody needs to hear this evening. I don't know why, I could tell you how I got here. I'm just telling you, we got some lessons. I'll give them to you in just a moment. There are 8 of them, so I'm just laying the foundation. We'll go through them quickly. But God just sometimes interrupts our life, but we're guided by the purpose of God. God had a purpose for the disciples to go through the storm. Hey, look at me. He was on board, and they still went through the storm. So my question is this. Why is it sometimes we get angry? We get resentful. I know a young man right now that I see something happen and one of his family members passed away. You can see the anger because they didn't think that their loved one should have died. Do you understand God has yet to do anything wrong? And He's not going to do anything wrong. And if we ever try to figure Him out, you'll become resentful. You'll begin to distance yourself away from God. But before you make that final choice, I want you to learn some lessons that God wants us to learn. Because in the middle of the storm, He's still God. And He's still Savior. Oh, what a Savior. Y'all with me? Let me give it to you. Just write them down right quickly if you want to. Number one, no one will be exempt from sudden storms. No one will be exempt from sudden storms. I'm going to say it one more time. No one will be exempt from sudden storms. Now, although that Jesus was on board, He's the one who created the sea. He's the one who could calm the sea. He's the one who could stop all the problems. Even when He was on board, they still went through the storm. You're talking about the future of what was about to take place through those men. God said, and Jesus said, we together are going to go through the storm. It's interesting. Sickness hits anybody. Sorrow hits anybody. Ask Joseph. You don't find anything bad about Joseph, but he was betrayed by his brothers. Wound up in prison, but God put him in the palace. Why didn't God just take him from where he was and put him in the palace? He was learning some things. The way you and I need to learn. When you read the book of Job, I cannot find, maybe you can, I cannot find one reason why God allowed Job to suffer. I mean, the Bible said, God made it very clear. He said, this man hates evil and he worships. But yet you find over 40 chapters where everything was stripped. He lost 10 children in one day. His wife said, just curse God and die. And to beat it all, he had balls on him. And he had 3 friends, which I hope I never find. It's your fault. You got sin in your life. Well, we don't know why Job suffered. What about Jeremiah? He was in prison just because he preached the gospel. What about Paul? Paul was a man that went into a city, they trembled, but yet God gave him a thorn in the flesh. He not once, not twice, but 3 times removed this thorn in the flesh. You know what God said? He didn't say yes or no. He just said, my grace is sufficient for thee. All the disciples had to suffer except for one, and he was exiled as a prisoner. I'm trying to tell you folks that sometimes we want the rose garden. What God wants to show us, He's the rose of Sharon in the midst of that garden. We want smooth sailing. God said you're going to have a safe landing. He said you're going over to the other side. He said I'm going to be with you. Just because he's with us does not keep us from having storms in our life. Can I get an amen, church? You see, it may be tough. Listen to this. It may be tough in the storm with Jesus, but I'd rather be in a storm with him than be without him in a storm, or even be without him outside of a storm. We need him every day. No one is exempt from sudden storms. Secondly, write this down. No one is exempt from sudden storms. Number two, it may appear that the Lord is doing absolutely nothing to help us. Is this mine? Okay, I just want to make sure there's something floating in it. But anyway, let me say this again. It may appear that the Lord is doing absolutely nothing to help us. I want you to listen, because these men are are veteran seamen. They are fishermen. They know how to handle a storm. But this was a storm they've never seen, and all that, all instead of just trying to say, okay, boys, we're going to make it, they're trying to survive. They when they went to Jesus, they said, don't you care that we're going to die? Don't you hear me? Here was Jesus, and it seemed like he was asleep in the hindquarters. He was sound asleep. I honestly believe that that water came in that boat and may have been hitting him, but he was sound asleep. Don't you hear me? God is under no obligation to give you an answer to why you're going through a storm. But God is obligated to be with you while you're in the storm. Amen? See, sometimes we question God. You see, there are going to be moments that Jesus acts like that he's not going to do anything. It wasn't time for him to stand up. It wasn't time for that storm to end. Just because he didn't do anything didn't mean he wasn't going to do anything. Church, stay with me tonight. When God interrupts our lives, sometimes it seems like that he is doing nothing to help us. Hear me. What Jesus wanted them to do is what he wants us to do. He wants us to get our eyes back on him. He wants us to focus on him. I want you to listen to me too. Jesus did something what you and I should do in a storm. He was sound asleep. Now, I know what you're saying right now. Okay, now, preacher, he was God in the flesh. He can go to sleep and it not bother him. I want to ask you something. How many of you are Christians? Lift up your hand. How many of you know you're saved? Say amen. Amen. Well, don't you have the same God living in you? We want to make excuses why we worry. We want to make excuses why we ask questions. If Jesus was asleep on the ship, why there was a horrible storm, can't you and I rest on the promises of God that we're going to come to the other side?
Hallelujah.
I don't know, this is helping me. Because sometimes God interrupts our life. These are lessons that this preacher learned. Y'all still with me? Say amen. No one is exempt from sudden storms. Number two, it appears that the Lord is doing nothing to help you. Number three, our faith will become weak when we are overwhelmed by fear. Our faith will become weak when we are overwhelmed by fear. I'll say that one more time and then I'm going to share something with you. Our faith will become weak when we are overwhelmed by fear. When this storm came, and if we put ourselves in that position, sure, we would have probably been fearful as well. They had never seen anything like this. But here's the thing. You know what? Why they were really fearful? Jesus didn't tell them what he was going to do. Jesus did not wake up and say, all right, boys, I'm going to calm this storm. I think the reason why we fear sometimes is because we don't know what's going to happen next. And we fear the unknown. Jesus used, remember what he said? He said, why did you fear? He said, why were you terrified? We've all been that way. We've all had those moments of fear. But the Bible says it's not God that gives us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. It's a spirit that can consume us if we're not careful. Why did you fear? I want to ask you a question. Church, look at me for just a moment. Why do we fear the God that can take care of everything? What? Have you ever felt alone? Have you ever felt like that here we are? Man, I have been in churches where I come in to preach and I had people everywhere just like tonight, and I felt like I was the only one in the building. You know why? Because I felt like I was the only one going through my storm. I thought I was the only one that had problems. That's the way we feel sometimes. And then we fear, thinking, God, why don't you tell me? Hey, he's going to wake up. He's going to wake up in his time, not ours. You know how to overcome fear? Just completely trust the Lord and let the healing process begin. Number four. I guess I'm going to do my own shouting too. Amen. Have you ever been through a storm? Here's how you can overcome it. Number four, the Lord will hear us when we cry out to him. The Lord will hear us when we cry out to him. You cannot convince me any differently. I think Jesus was wet with that water coming in. Now, if you know anything about water during that time, hey, it's going to be cold. Jesus is still asleep. Don't you think that he was rocking? He was rocking just like that boat. But yet, what woke him up was just the cry of the voice of his disciples. Hey, listen. I'm a father. My son will be 40 this year. But when he was home, he didn't wake me up. I mean, he could be sick. It wouldn't bother me. But it would her. Because a mother somehow can sleep and be in tune with the children at the same time. I found out too that also ladies can talk on the telephone, do something else, and listen to your conversation at the same time. Has nothing to do with the storm that just hit me. But here's the thing. You see, what he's doing is simply this. He waited on them to call. Hey, listen. Why we get so upset is because he knows what we're going through before we ever get there. Amen? And he also knows what we need before we ever get there. And he also has the provision before we ever get there. What bothers us is he doesn't tell us and he doesn't move. But when we call, he hears. Man, that helps me. Because that just should wipe away all fears. God hears our cry. Boy, cry out to him. Number five, I got to hurry. We must turn our attention to the Lord. We must turn our attention to the Lord. We must turn our attention to the Lord. I think this is the key. We all get busy in life. I've done funeral after funeral, just like you, preacher. I've gone to the hospital. Don't you listen to me. You hear this preacher. We don't have time to get sick, but we get sick. We don't have time for death, but we have to make time. Don't tell me you can't make time for Jesus. You know what a storm does every once in a while? It'll either drive you away or draw you back. And I don't know the hearts of the disciples at that very moment. I do know one thing. They knew who to turn to at that very moment. And their face was there right in his face. You have got to do something. And if a storm does anything for God's people, we sometimes forget who God is. We sometimes forget what he looks like. But in a storm, we get back. Oh, there's who you are. That's what you can do. That's what he wants us to do all the time. But sometimes when we get our eyes off, he sends us in the storm. Even all those who walk with him, we still go through storms. But we turn to Jesus. That's what he wants. Number six. Our storm will eventually end. Hallelujah. Now, that's when you ought to be shouting right now. Our storm
will eventually end. You see, no one's exempt from sudden storms. It may appear that he's doing absolutely nothing to help you. Our faith may be weakened and overwhelmed by fear. The Lord will hear us when we call. We must turn our attention to the Lord, but there's going to come a time when it's over. And the storm is over. The lightning flashes. Rains come. You hear thunder. I've had thunder, and you have too, that shook our house. And all of a sudden it happens all night. How'd you sleep? Not good. I'm in a storm. But 3 or 4 days later, that storm is over with. You know what they're doing? I got some good sleep. You know why? The storm didn't last forever. The storm will eventually end. It doesn't matter your hurt, your pain, your sorrow, your grief, your anger, your depression, your stress, your fear, your loneliness, the unknown. I'm telling you, all of that is real, but it won't last forever. I'm here to tell you, it's going to be over. Amen. Let me give you another thing. Man, are y'all getting something out of this? These are just lessons, simple lessons that God teaches us when he interrupts our life. I want to ask you a question. Has God ever interrupted your life? We learn. Sometimes you don't learn it in that storm, but after it's over with, you begin to think, God, why? And then all of a sudden you just begin to think, yep, he did that. Yep, he did that. Yep, he did that. Yep, he did that. And you know what? We come to the conclusion, he was right. I know y'all drove all the way here to church to tell you that a storm is going to be all right, but it's going to be all right because it's going to end one day. But while it's going, he's still going to be there. Number 7, here's a key. Number 7, the Lord will assist others during our storm. The Lord will assist others during our storm. Remember what I told you back in verse number 36? There were other little boats with him. Jesus was in the boat with his disciples. But what happened to them affected them. I honestly believe they made it to the other side too, because the king was on one boat. He was helping them, but he was also helping others. I don't know who's looking at our lives, and I don't know what you're going through, but somebody's looking at your life. Somebody is looking to see what's going on. Let the Lord, through you, help them. So when they go through the storm, you say, you don't know what I feel. Somebody probably does. And they may be closer to you than you think. Last of all, and I'm done. This is the best part of it all, but we miss it. Let me give you these right quickly and I'm done. Man, I appreciate, there's a sweet spirit here tonight. I appreciate you letting me be here, preacher. Thank you. And I've just tried to share with you what I have learned through the years, because all of us, we're going to go through storms. All of us. Has anybody ever struggled before? If you didn't lift your hand, you haven't been breathing very long. And in fact, we came into this world with pain. When I was born, I don't remember it, thank God. But when I was born, they popped me somewhere. They wanted me to scream. I don't know how they held me. I know what they did to my son. They prayed. Listen, I can't stand blood. I can't stand all that stuff. I don't know why God called me to preach. He knew I was going to be a wimp. When I really need to be strong, I just fall down. And when I go to the hospital and somebody's hurting, my people pray for me more so I won't faint. I had more people praying for me when she was having that baby. If I had to do over again, I'd have had 2 gurneys, one bringing her out and one bringing me out. Say amen. I remember all of a sudden I heard, if I'd have thought about it, I would have whispered in his ear, son, that's just the beginning of life. And guess what? He's 40 years old, and ask him if he's cried since that whipping. I'm 59 years old and I've been crying this year. We want it to end and it will. God gives us a breather. But number eight is this. God was in control from the very beginning. Amen. Who said, get on board? He did. Who said, let us go over to the other side? Are we reading the same story? Who said, let us go over to the other side? That means from the very beginning, he didn't tell them they were going to go through the storm. He didn't even tell them what he was going to do in the middle of the storm. He was sawing logs. He was sound asleep. But what he did was this. Boys, and this is where you got to understand something, church. I'm about done. I want you to listen to me very carefully. We've taken trips. All of us have taken trips before. I've had a flip phone until the last couple of years, and this is an iPhone smartphone. I don't know what it is, but I'm telling you something. The other night, I hit that GPS, and I was going home, and I hear this woman talking, turn left. Scared me half to death because I knew Gina wasn't in the car. Man, it just that little voice. I don't know why I got a woman's voice. It just, yeah. Why I'm talking on the telephone? Beep, 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 beep. And there's an error. Tell me which way to go. I have no idea what I was going. I just got off track right there. Sorry about that. That's just free of charge. I really don't know where I was going. We are talking about storms, aren't we? When storm comes our life, oh, I know what we're talking about. A few years ago, we were going to Panama City, and Gina got on her GPS. And I have one way to go, like all of us do. We have one way to go. So we got about halfway, and Gina said, we're supposed to turn here. I said, no, we're not. It's wrong. She said, no, this is where we're supposed to. I said, honey, and we argued over GPS. I said, no, that's not. Yes, we're supposed to turn this way. Well, we did. And she said, this is supposed to save us about 20 minutes. Well, the roads went from four lane to two lane, Alan. And I'll be honest with you, when you get on two lane, guess what you get behind? A truck. I will just wait. Lord, let there be a truck so I can prove myself right. Nope. Straight through those little towns. And we got there. We've taken trips where we had to sit in traffic, make a detour, go off road. Take us about 2 hours later. We made it to our destination, but we had to go a little different way. We've got this thing planned out, what we want God to do. So you know what God does? He sends traffic. You got to get off here. The other day, Gina will tell you, I was in the car with my mom. Is this being taped? Okay. Okay, good, because she don't have internet, so I can tell this. Was coming through Chattanooga, and she said, Sam, and she said, we got to get off the interstate. And I said, Mom, we're okay. No, we got to get off the interstate. I said, Mom, we are okay. Andrew, we had a family. We were just going through town. It was getting on the interstate, Gina would tell you, and was on 59, fixing to hit 75. She said, we've got to get off the exit. So I did. I just listened to Mom. Andrew and them just kept on the interstate. We got home. They were getting out of their car. I said, we should have stayed on the interstate. Nope. Nope. And we just kept arguing all the way home. I'm arguing with my mom. They're going to be there. The thing is, there are detours that God allows us to go through. He said we're going to make it to the other side. He just didn't say it was going to be safe for a while. But he said, we are going to make it. I'm done. Church, God will interrupt our life. Not to harm us, but to help us. And I want, if you get all 8 points, if you get 1 point, I want you to get that last one. He was in control from the very beginning. Years ago, they had a contest about paintings to see who could paint the picture of perfect peace. And it was down to two left. There was about 8 paintings. They were down to 2. One of them, when they opened it up, man, they had the sea was calm. No wind seemed like it was blowing. Boy, everybody just clapped. Yeah, that's peace. They clap, man. I mean, it's a beautiful picture. But then the man pulled off the last veil, and there was this huge storm. There was a waterfall, and you could see in your mind, and it had where the water, the wind was so strong that it was even blowing how the water was falling. Everybody just froze. And one man hollered out, "Where's the peace?" He went over there, and in the cleft of the rock, there was a bird with her little birds underneath her. They were just as safe as though that the storm was not there. You see, we paint peace as everything being calm. Jesus paints peace when he just realized and we realize it, he is with us. No matter what, we've got to trust him. I love you, Calvary. My assignment is over with. But I want you to understand, this is for some people here tonight. God will interrupt your life. And it may be preparing you for some of you. But God will interrupt your life, but do not question him. You know why? Because he is in control from the very beginning. Will you stand to your feet, if you will? Every head bowed, every eye closed. As we close our service, I'm going to turn it over to the preacher here in just a moment. But I've got to ask you something. I wonder if there's somebody here tonight that you don't understand what's going on. Man, God pressed upon my heart today just to try to encourage you, to help you. I'm asking you in Jesus' name, do you need help from the Lord? Even when you don't understand, you can find help. You can trust him. You know why? Because his word did not fail. He said, we're going to the other side. What is it that is, what promise do you keep hanging on to? Do you really believe that God's going to change his mind? No. What God's going to do is this. He's going to see you through if you trust him. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I don't know who needs to come. Maybe nobody comes. I don't know. But if you're struggling with something and God is working in your life and you don't understand, please do one thing. Understand that his word will never fail. His promises are still true. He has every right to interrupt our life. He has every right to stop it at the right time. But we've got to trust him. These are lessons that we learn when God interrupts our life. Father, I love this church. I love this preacher. And I thank you, Lord, for what you did in my soul this evening. But God, there's some people here tonight, I don't know who. But there's some people here tonight that their life, there is, right now, there's no understanding. But it's okay because you've got everything. You're in control from the very beginning. So Lord, I pray now in Jesus' name, help us. Help these folks. And as much as I love them, I can only help. I can only talk to them, preach to them. They have to make the decision. Maybe a visitor here tonight that needs help. I just pray, God, in Jesus' name. I'm glad you're with us. Help us. We're going to give you the praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Before I finish with your heads bowed, if you need to come and pray, just I encourage you to do so. if you want to stand around the altar, if you want to come and sit on the seat, or if you want to come and kneel, this is for you. I'm glad we can come to Him when we don't understand, because He does understand. And He's here to help you along the way.